Beloved, the word is open this evening to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. With the Lord's help, I'd like to read the entire chapter. Matthew, chapter 4.
Евангелие по Матею, 4 глава.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Read the entire chapter. May the Lord bless. We've read tonight of Jesus in the hour of his temptation, when he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We have read of the beginning of Jesus' ministry, where he teaches one and all who have ears that are open to hear, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Even as we have prayed, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The word says that if one would deny that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh, that we would reject them, that we would turn away. We must know and be assured, we who are living in this flesh and are called to follow Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has gone first. He is showing us the way. He's lighting the way, even as the prophecies of old had foretold of him. He's teaching us how to walk, how we can find victory. And there's many things at play here that we could focus on and emphasize. We can look to the Word of God, as Jesus quotes from the book of Deuteronomy in his hour of temptation. We can perceive and understand that Jesus is being led of the Spirit. He is obviously showing us the yielded heart to his Father. He's teaching us hear about self-denial and focus and glory and seeking God's praise alone. Self-denial and God focus. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring that about in our hearts and our life. And it is the Lord's will that Jesus would go up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to give Satan an opportunity to tempt him. We read of Job as well. Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And here, God's Son is being put to the test to be tempted of the devil. Unlike the Jews in their wilderness wanderings that are recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, Jesus stands in contrast to their example. He is victorious. The Jews' wanderings in the wilderness were marked by a pattern of complaining and longing for more and more stuff. Yet Jesus, He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward was hungered. He experienced the cravings and the urgings of this flesh that work on us, that can change our thoughts, our emotions, our attitudes. There's an influence. Yet body, soul, and spirit of the Lord were surrendered, were willing to do his Father's will. And he is asking for us, body, soul, and spirit. One of them is not sufficient, but he is looking for all of us, our whole being, to be surrendered. The tempter comes to Jesus and says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus is giving an opportunity to demonstrate his power, to demonstrate his authority for his own purpose and his own use. You might say that he's being offered an opportunity to exercise his own liberty, but not to edification. And Jesus refuses this type of temptation. We sang in the opening hymn, though nothing were remaining, I would with happy heart, Lord, for thy love sustaining, with everything here part. In the moment of need that Jesus had for his physical body, he said no to his flesh so that he could say yes to God, his Father. He said no to the things that pulled him towards the direction of self-interest. And even as we sang, with a happy heart, for the joy that was before him. And for the love of his Father, made a choice to say, I don't need that. But isn't it what the world often tells us? You need this. I need to do this. Yes, I know I'm supposed to, but I need to. You fill in the blank. How many things do you really, really need? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, we're going to be the bread, the sustenance, the life, and the help that Jesus took for his journey, that Jesus showed us what it means to live in the flesh, what it means to be a human and fulfill the role of a human being in this life. And then the devil takes him up into the holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and challenged him to throw himself down, and then, quoting the scripture partially, that the angels would protect him, that he would test the love of God, that he would put God's mercy on the scales. If he was the Son of God, he wouldn't do this. So the temptation doesn't make sense on his face. And how about for us? When we are tempted to test the limits of God's love, to see how far or how close we can get to the border, or how long I can go ignoring the promptings of the Holy Spirit, much less we should test that love? And how much less of a place is it for us to put God's mercy in the balances? And Jesus again refuses. It is written again, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." But Jesus' life, unlike the life of the Jews that were wandering in the wilderness as they tempted God, as they proved him, as they tried to put his love and his faithfulness on the balances, he does not. He shows a pattern of centering his life on the will of God and doing what is pleasing to his heavenly Father, to following his instructions and his every word. And even he goes on to say later that he would not speak a word, but that the Father had given him. And he's our pattern for living here below. He's showing us how to rise up and bless the name of the Lord in the morning, and how to reflect upon our day and our actions and our heart each and every evening. He is that light, even as we have sung and even as written in verse 16, the light to lighten our hearts, to show us the way. And he has said he has not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When we are in alignment with Jesus Christ, when we are following him in his pattern, we find the strength that we need. We find redemption. We find that there is hope and there's peace. When outside of him, there's nothing but darkness. There's nothing but hopelessness. There's nothing but struggle and trying hard on my own. But when we surrender, as Jesus has shown us to surrender with a happy heart for the sustaining love of the Lord that we believe and that we don't challenge, we part with everything. God, give me and you and each of us a perceptive heart to know how the Lord is speaking and what it is that the Lord desires to change and to make me and you more conform to this image of Christ. To not be satisfied with status quo of what is acceptable to the people around me, but to truly be illuminated by the light of the Word, to be challenged by the example of Jesus Christ, to know that when I need to identify something that is not for me, that I don't go for it, and then when there is something wrong with me or with my family or with those who I fellowship, that I would distance myself from it. And I wouldn't say, no, it's me, it's good, I have excuse, it's my family, it's okay. No. The light is penetrating to all mankind, to every man that comes into the world. I know it's so easy for us to look outside and to judge someone else. Oh, they're some other country. They're an enemy. Or they're so far outside of Christ, they're worthless. Or maybe it comes a little bit closer to our country or to our state or city or to our fellowship. But then we realize that there's things that need work. Then it comes to our family, and then when we open our eyes to the light of the Word, we realize God is calling me, and he has been calling me, and he's looking for a response. And there will be one day when he calls me to account for how I have responded to his call that he gave. And so he teaches us that until that day we would pray with from the heart, Lord, thy will be done. I'm more concerned about thy praise and thy glory than about looking good or playing the part. I want to be genuine. I know I can't hide anything from the Lord. And the things that we know with our minds, we often need reminders, and we need to feel them acutely with our soul. That they would prick our hearts, and that we would ask, what should we do? Where should we go from here? We're struggling down here with this test that we're under. The light is shown in Jesus' teaching. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. That double-edged sword that in one way pierces to this flesh and to me. It pierces to you. But in the other way, it pierces to the enemy of us all. It pierces and it puts... It renders Satan powerless. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh yes, that sword does penetrate me, and it does cut and make me feel uncomfortable, and it makes me embarrassed and realize where I need to ask for forgiveness, where I need to make correction, where I need to change my mind about what I thought was good and noble, and allow God to reprogram, to give me a new birth, to reset my heart and my desires. And it cuts to me. But before God, and before the judgment of the Lord, we have no other tool to use. We have no other option than the words of Jesus Christ. The words of the apostles that taught repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. Without this burning and dwelling within our hearts, we have no other hope. We have no other option. To deal with the enemy of our souls, who holds us and holds you, my friend, in his grip. But Jesus is teaching you, and Jesus is teaching me, and Jesus is going to continue to teach, and his Spirit is still going to call while there's still time. Draw close. Come with a happy heart into the center of God's will. Follow Jesus Christ. Take notice of his steps. And by his grace, walk in them day by day. May the Lord give us his grace. May the Lord and his Holy Spirit teach us how these words apply to us individually, for we all have work to do. And may his name be blessed, and may he bless his words unto our heart. Amen.
Jesus was 30 years old here, and we have very little said about those first 30 years. But we have a statement that comes from God. And he says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. That means those 30 years that he lived, every thought that he had, God was pleased. Every word that he said, God was well pleased. Everything that he did, God was well pleased. And he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. as he began his ministry. And this is the anointing of the Spirit that we also receive, brothers and sisters. And we see in the power of the Spirit how an example that Jesus has given us, as the brother prayed about us needing to take on the whole armor of God. This is the whole armor of God on display. So the temptation is Satan's. That's his. The transgression is ours. So Satan tempted. Jesus was faithful. Jesus had the sword of the Spirit. He had the shield of faith. He had the helmet of salvation. He had the whole armor of God. And so we are urged by Apostle Paul also, take on that whole armor so that you also could stand. So that the temptation that comes, you don't have to transgress, because you have the sword of the Spirit. You have the preparation of the gospel. You have the whole armor. And so, dear ones, we have a wonderful example here of faithfulness of Jesus in temptation, not yielding. Just as we have this example here, just as Apostle Paul, who says, submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Here was this resistance of the devil. Here was the submission to his Father's will, the resistance of the devil, and he fled. It's all given to us too. It's all given to us too. And when we think about this temptation, dear ones, it's far greater than any we could ever endure. Because we have to think about, he had the power, he had the ability to do exactly what he was told to do. Like, I'll show you. Well, he wouldn't have shown him anything. Satan knew he could. He tempted him to do it. And dear ones, how many times, if we could do something, we would do it. To show someone something. That's not meekness. And that's not faithfulness. The Lord showed us his way, and it's beautiful altogether. And may his word this evening bless each one of our hearts and empower us with the anointing of that same Spirit and that same faithfulness that we also would show towards our Father. Amen.